Today I want to talk a little bit about something that we've talked about on this show for a number of weeks and months. It appears that the unopened mail...
My tax return.
...at the IRS is having a little trickle-down effect, so to speak. Mm. And so one of the interesting things I read about over the course of the past week is the flood of tax court petitions that have been submitted to the United States Tax Court. You know, to give you an example about how flooded they are right now, they're up to 26,000 petitions currently for tax year, for this particular year, 2021.
Yeah.
You know, you compare that to years past. Last year, there was 17,000 petitions total, which is a little bit of a misnomer because the tax court was closed for a period due to COVID. Mm-hmm. But the two prior years, 19 and 18, there was 24 and 25,000 petitions respectively.
What's a petition?
Yeah, a petition for a tax court is where you get what's called a statutory notice of deficiency. So I'm going to get into why I think this problem has occurred and how it relates to the unopened mail issue.
So it's originated by the IRS, not by the taxpayer.
So you get what's called your ticket to tax court.
Okay.
So let's go back and let's focus on how this all typically comes about and where I think the problem is. A few weeks ago, Mike, we talked about computer-generated audits. Mm-hmm. We talked about how you get this CP2000 letter. In the upper right-hand corner of your letter, it says CP2000. It says, we propose that you owe this amount because there's an error on your return.
Sure.
And we talked about how those errors can come about.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, oh, it's the taxpayer's fault. They just forgot to include a W-2 or a 1099.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. They did something different in this particular tax year and just, oh, man, it just slipped my mind. You know,
honest
and in those,
mistake.
Honest mistake. And in those particular cases, you know, we talk about what your options are relative to paying that back and talk about penalty relief. Those are usually the two areas where we focus those type of appointments on. There's other appointments though, where we get these computer generated audits and we notice, oh, that was either put on the wrong line, but accounted for in your return, or we don't believe that the number that the IRS has calculated is correct due to whatever factor may take into account. I've had one, for example, where they didn't take into account the fact that the taxpayer sold stock and account their basis for the amount of the stock that was sold. So therefore, there was a problem with the amount of tax that was showing due. That's one example where we dispute what's going on with the CP2000. So you have 30 days to respond to the CP2000.
Can't ignore it.
Can't ignore it. Got to respond.
Right.
You respond by fax or by mail. Certified mail.
Would you recommend fax? Is that safe?
Fax is great because you get the fax confirmation.
Okay.
Yeah,
sure,
so
you keep that.
Correct.
Okay.
That's exactly right. So fax confirmation is fantastic because you can prove that you did submit it timely, the information timely. If you either the IRS can then come back and respond to what you've submitted, or they may not even respond. They may just issue what's called a statutory notice of deficiency. And what that is, Mike, is your ticket to the tax court.
There you go.
That gives you 90 days to petition the tax court, and that's a hard deadline.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about that before. You get that statutory notice of deficiency by certified mail. It gives you the last day to petition the tax court is X. And if you are past that date, poof, your tax court rights are gone.
Oof.
And now your only option is to really pay the tax and then file for a claim of refund and go through federal district court, which is a whole other animal.
Yeah.
So the tax court is a critical step in this process. And why I think that we're ended up with so many tax court petitions, we're on pace for 41,000, which is 16,000-17,000 more than the prior years, is because I think what's happening is people and practitioners are responding to these CP2000 notices, and that is ending up in these stacks of unopened mail at the IRS.
Sure. Yeah.
And therefore, the response to the IRS generates is not something saying, hey, let's continue to communicate and try to work this matter out. They just send you the statutory notice of deficiency.
Right.
And then what do you have to do relative to that, Mike?
You got to react to it.
You have to react to it.
Yeah.
So what is your response? You got to petition the tax court.
Yeah.
And so you've got 90 days. You file your petition, $60 fee to file it, and you then go proceed down the road of litigation relative to tax court. Now, the good news is, and I've told our listeners this all the time, just because you file a tax court petition does not mean you end up before a judge, because there is the appeals avenue, which basically all tax court cases get assigned to an appeals officer to see, hey, is there a way that we can work this out?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if it's a clear misunderstanding or you've got clear, clear justification for your position. It is not one of those what I'd call real, real sticky issues where our position is being questioned because it could go one way or the other. Right. But if it's real more, not black and white, but really close to black and white, usually at that appeals officer level, you're able to work the matter out and get what's called a settlement.
Let me ask you this, Andrew. You get the letter in the mail. It's intimidating enough when you see our Internal Revenue Service on the return. And those doors to U.S. tax court seem awfully heavy and large to open on one by oneself. At what point after you receive the letter should you take a walk through the office of Harvell and Collins?
I'd say immediately. Yeah. And the reason for that's because that's a game changer letter. That is if you do not take the necessary steps, if you do not file that petition, and in your petition you have to be very specific about what you're challenging and do it in a manner that's clear, mm-hmm. that you don't leave anything off the table that should be on the table, because if you do, then that'll be a dead issue come tax court time. And if you fail to meet that deadline, that 90-day deadline, and we've had plenty of conversation on this program about how people have inadvertently missed deadlines, thinking they're doing the right thing, but not, you know, making sure that they have the proof that they're filing timely. That 90 days expires, Mike. You know, like I said, you're done for, and you're at the point now where that becomes an assess tax. And guess what they start doing on that assessed tax?
They can take it out of your wage.
They start collecting on it through, you know, liens, levies, et cetera.
Right.
So it's very, very important that if you get that notice, you go ahead and assert yourself. Now, what does this backlog of tax court petitions means for the taxpayer? A couple things. Positive is that if you're out there and you're trying to avoid paying the tax for as long as possible, it's going to allow you to kick the can down the road.
Yeah, it's delayed on their part.
The last petition that was clocked in on the tax court website was back from May 26th of 2021. That's how far behind they are getting these petitions clocked in and ready to assign to an attorney and go ahead and answer the petition, et cetera. Mm-hmm. You know, the downside for it for taxpayers is that if you're one of those people who get those letters, start getting the sweats and start feeling the nerves behind all of this, that's just a longer period of time with which you've got this issue that's going to be hanging out there. Now, again, I can assure you, depending on the situation, we can get this resolved. I've seen this before. You know, just know this is a marathon, not a sprint. Yep. You've got to just follow the process and procedure, get before that appeals officer and get this matter settled. You know, or if you're in it for the long haul, meaning that there is going to be a tax court case, it's just going to lengthen those out because you know that the fact is these are going to get set now years in advance. I mean, that's pretty much where you're looking at relative to hearing these particular matters, because just because you've doubled the amount of petitions that have hit the tax court, you have not doubled the amount of tax attorneys with the IRS that get to answer these things. So you're talking about a backlog now of cases, and they're going to have to do their best to marshal through them. And possibly, Mike, they might be more entertaining settlement offers at that point in time because they need to clear the docket. That's exactly right. Clear the docket.
And are you seeing, you're seeing a lot of this in the community here? People are getting those letters.
I'm seeing CP2000s come to my door, and I'm seeing, you know, statutory notice of deficiencies. And a lot of times if I do see that and I ask them what's going on, it is a problem with just communicating with the IRS. Yeah. You know, phone calls going unanswered, you know, letters and documentations not being responded to by the IRS. And then what is their response? Hit you with the statutory notice of deficiency and say, you got to go to tax court on this. And I think that's the real reason why we're seeing the increase in tax court petitions is because of this backlog of mail at the IRS.
It's a human resource issue.
Correct. That's exactly right.
So 30 days when you receive the CP2000, you have 30 days to respond.
30 days to respond. If you can't respond in 30 days because you're gathering information, got to request an extension. Okay, got to go to the extension.
Is the clock ticking when they drop the letter in the mail to you or when you received it?
The clock is ticking from when the letter is placed in the mail. So a lot of times, you're on a fixed deadline.
You might have
deadline.
Burned a week there from the time in which it went into the postal service.
And that's why I'm telling you that if you need to request an extension of time, you can do so. Do it in writing, fax, certified mail. Make sure you get it in within the 30 days. They will give you an extension. It's one of those situations where they're not going to just deny your extension
almost
request.
Like income tax, they'll give you an extension.
Exactly
but
right.
You got to show them that you're alive and you're.
Make sure you assert those rights. It's so important.
Call Andrew Foster and Harvell and Collins today, 252-726-9050. Go online to harvellandcollins.com. Call Andrew at 726-9050 and say, hey, I got the CP2000. What do I do? You come see Andrew. We'll take a break now and come back after this quick time.